Well, it's good to see you. This is Sunday, May 1st, 2022. Hard to believe we're already into May. Less than 8 months till Christmas now, folks. Less than 8 months till Christmas. So start your shopping list. And I've been a good boy this year so far. But we'd love to have you come and go with us to the Shady Maple or to Sight and Sound on Friday, July 1st, if you can be able to go. Today, we are going to be looking at lesson number 10. Lesson number 10 in our series, From Forgiveness to Faithfulness. We're studying the book of Titus, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 this morning. Our lesson theme verse is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And most of you know this verse by heart. You could probably say it by heart. But it says this. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today's lesson is entitled, Faithfulness and Truth. Faithfulness and truth. As I studied this lesson, I asked myself this question. Am I, personally, am I allowing faithfulness and truth to be seen in my life before others each and every day? You know what? We need to display faithfulness unto God and truth from the Word of God in all that we do. Nobody in our world, nobody I know of, well, there are some folks I know, but nobody with a right mind likes controversy. Nobody likes controversial confrontation, okay? Getting in fusses or fights with other people. And I know some folks, that's what they live for. They live to fuss and complain and gripe about something all the time. But you know what? The normal Bible-believing child of God, nobody likes to have to get into a confrontation with somebody. But you know what? Today, our world is a confrontational world. And boy, it seems like everybody is confrontational against one common factor. And that one common factor is truth. The world does not want, they don't like, and they don't want to hear truth. Truth. But you know, I remember reading, and I read this week in the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude, but in verses 3 and 4, Jude wrote these words. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, Jude put it right. He said, folks, I want to be exhorting you. I want to encourage you to contend, stand, fight for the faith. Why? Because the world is against it. It has been ever since Jude's day. You know, in the book of Acts, Dr. Luke writes of when the Apostle Paul was about to leave the church in Ephesus to go back to Jerusalem. And he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30, Paul warned the people and that church body of believers. He warned them. And he said this. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, there shall come grievous wolves. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Folks, faithfulness and truth are some things that we're going to have to stand for. You and I, as born-again believers, need to be willing to stand for faithfulness and truth. And you know, controversy over what the Bible says about things is a serious matter today, folks. I know that today they have changed the Word of God. They've gotten all these versions that meet men's approval. But I don't believe it meets God's approval. And you know, the sad thing is, in a lot of these situations, they've got versions of the Bible that condone sin now instead of calling it out. And if you know folks that's got these New International Version Bibles, these New International Version Bibles that began back in the late 60s, early 70s, they started to put these things together, trying to come together, World Council of Churches and all these other people, trying to come together with one Bible that could suit everybody's needs. And folks, it's provided for the needs of no one but Satan. As a matter of fact, one of the main people on the translation committee, Virginia Mollenkott, now they have a NIV Bible, and her suggestions have been put into these things about people and issues in the Word of God where God's Word stands against sodomy. She no longer condoned that. She hasn't condoned it. She is a lesbian, and she is married to another woman, and she was on the translation committee for the NIV Bible. And for all these other things that's going on, folks have come in. They've crept in unawares. And people read these things and say, wow, this is what God's Word says. Folks, God's Word has not changed. God's ideals have not changed. Sin is still sin. And there comes a time when every child of God's going to have to make a stand for truth and for righteousness. And we're going to have to stand when folks don't want to stand. And when others don't stand, we're going to have to find ourselves standing for something. Those folks in the Middle Ages, and when the Bible was translated into English, and King James gave the authorization against the Catholic Church proclamation to put the Word of God in the English language so that the plowboy could be able to read the Word of God in his own tongue. Boy, it's been hated ever since that day. And men and women died because of this book that we hold in our hand. They stood for it. They died by it. It was taken and used for kindling when they burned them at the stakes. And they were told, listen, you can't do this. But you know what? The Bible still stands. Amen. The Bible still stands. And folks, I want to tell you today, the Apostle Paul came to the point in his life where he had to stand alone in some situations. He stood alone. Physically speaking, in many situations, he had to stand alone, and he proclaimed the truth, trusting God to protect him and to empower him and to stand him on a firm foundation, which was the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I want you to turn there just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. The Apostle Paul talks about this situation in his life. And he said this, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know what? The Apostle Paul stood but he never stood alone. And I want you to understand something today, folks. When you have to take a stand for the cause of Christ, you are not standing alone. Do not let the devil tell you you're all by yourself. Because the Spirit of God that dwells within you, the Word of God that lives within you, is always there with you. That's why our pastor always tries to tell us, stay in the book and allow the book to stay in you. Listen, there's coming a day when this Bible is going to be so opposed that we're going to have to take some stands. We're having to do that now in several situations. And folks, I want you to remember that you're never alone when you stand for God. You're never alone. Back in the book of Acts, chapter 27, verses 21 through 24. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 24. Luke recorded what Paul said to those who opposed his advice about not taking that ship out. It was coming up on winter, and he tried to tell them, you don't need to take this boat out in the water. But folks that supposedly knew more than he did, they took it out anyway. And you know the situation. They got into the big storm. And after a long time in that storm, the Bible said here in Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 21, Luke wrote, he said, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. I want you to look at those words. Fear not. Fear not. Listen, today, nobody likes to be in a controversy. Nobody likes to have to argue with somebody. But I want to share with you some things today, how that you can stand faithful and you can stand for truth even in the midst of the storms in your life. I think this lesson will be a help to you today. The point is, folks, controversy in this life is going to come at some time or another. Each of us are going to face it. But we need to face it in the power of God, not in the power of self. We're not there to exalt ourselves. We're there to lift up the name of Christ. And listen, that's what we've got to do. We've got to stand faithful, and we've got to stand in truth. Now, I want you to look here with us today in the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. I want to first define for you that word truth. The word truth. When I look this up in the dictionary, I don't know about you, but I get a blessing out of reading the dictionary sometimes. I just get a blessing out of it. Y'all try it sometimes. It really can be a blessing. Truth was defined in the dictionary that I've got. It said, the body of real things, events, and facts. And then it had in big capital letters, actuality. In other words, what something actually is. That's truth. Second part, that state of being the case. And then it had another big word right beside it. It said, facts. Facts, F-A-C-T-S. Truth, it's the facts. All right, then it goes on to say a transcendent, that's a big word, but it defines it, a transcendent or supernatural, fundamental, or spiritual reality that surpasses and exceeds the usual limits, extending or lying beyond the limits of ordinary experience and knowledge. Beyond comprehension, miraculous or phenomenal. That's how the Webster's Dictionary defined the word truth. Man, that's a good definition. That's a good definition. No wonder the Holy Spirit of God spoke to Paul's heart and directed him to challenge Timothy to stand faithfully for the Lord and for righteousness and truth. And why? Why did the Holy Spirit of God do that? It's because the man of God, as well as every servant of God, that's you, that's me, every child of God must be willing to study the Scriptures. To study the Scriptures so as to be able to distinguish the difference, all right, between truth and falsehood. If you can study the Word of God, read it, hide it in your heart, ask the Lord to help you to distinguish between truth and non-truth. God will do that. And He will give you His authority upon it, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God will be there to encourage you, to strengthen you. You and I have got to be found faithful to present truth, not to lift up man, but to exalt the Lord God. Because truth is truth. It's the facts. It's the actuality. You know what? When I was under such conviction about sin before I got saved, I did not like the truth of what the Bible had to tell me. I didn't like the fact that the Bible said that the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because I, in my own eyes, I was a good person. I didn't drink. I didn't cuss. I didn't smoke. I didn't steal much. You know. Much. You know, I hadn't been that bad. I'd never killed anybody. I'd never robbed anybody much. I mean, I was a pretty good guy. But the facts were, the truth was, I was a sinner. And for no matter what amount of sin I'd done, the Bible said, whether we've sinned in a little bit or a lot, we're still sinners. And I deserved the same payment for my sin as what the worst sinner was going to get. I didn't like those facts until I read where the Bible said, well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know what? I saw the light, literally, the light of the truth of God's precious Word. And folks, that's what people need today. And we've got to be willing to present this in such a way it presents humbleness of heart. Because listen to me today, these folks that are mean and angry and ugly about truth, listen, were it not for the grace of God, that could very well be you and it could very well be me. We could still be blinded in our sin today were it not for the glorious light of the Word of God and some man of God or somebody that taught it to us, preached it to us, and helped us to see truth. This is why Paul exhorted Timothy in our lesson theme verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He exhorted him and he said, Timothy, honey, above all things, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what I want us to see in our lesson today. And I want us to take this lesson and I want us to consider the words that Paul is telling Timothy, how he is challenging Timothy to stand in faithfulness and in truth in all that he does for the Lord. Now let's look at it. He first talks to Timothy about maintaining faithfulness in doctrine. Faithfulness in doctrine. Now, in last week's lesson, we saw faithfulness being illustrated in different means through the soldier, through the farmer, through the athlete, through Paul, through God Himself, how God has been faithful ever since time began for us. God has been faithful. But you know what? There are many today who are erring from truth. And there are not only lost people that have erred from truth, but there are people who name the name of Christ who have erred from truth. I found out about a young man that said he was called to preach this week. Used to come here to this church, but he's involved in another denomination, I guess you could call it now. And they, it's just all this extra biblical stuff and talking in tongues and you know, rolling in the floor and all this other stuff type religion. And I'm thinking, man, where is that in the Bible? The only place I've ever seen about anybody rolling around and foaming at the mouth and doing things like that was that lunatic son that got healed by Jesus and the devil came out of him. Okay? That's not evidence of the Holy Spirit of God in somebody's life. That's evidence of Satan in control of their life. And folks, many have erred. I want you to look at what Paul said to Timothy in verse 14 today. He said, of these things put them in remembrance. Talking about those things he had just covered with them all the way up through verse 13 of chapter 2. He said, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And here Paul encourages Timothy to constantly remind those folks within the church family to strive not about words to no profit. In other words, words that don't mean anything. Argumentative, controversial stuff. Things you don't find in the Word of God. All these people that want to come back now and say, well, I had a vision. I had a vision. Okay? Listen, stay in the Word of God. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. And we need a right vision today. We need a right vision. Listen, if a person becomes a believer in their denomination as the means for their salvation. I used to be in a denomination that did that, in the Moravian Church. And they taught, man, you know, if you're a good person, you treat your neighbors the way you want to be treated. When you stand before God one day, hopefully your good works will outweigh your bad works. And man, hopefully you'll get to go to heaven. But there was no peace within my heart to know without a doubt that I would stand before God in heaven. I want you to understand something. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm going to give you some interesting news today, folks. Being a Baptist will not get you to heaven. Amen. Thank God for that. Being a Baptist will not get you to heaven. Listen, being a Catholic will not get you to heaven. Being a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Moravian or even a non-denominationalist, that will not get you into heaven. It will not get you there. If it were, then God made a mistake when he allowed his son Jesus to suffer and bleed and die on an old rugged cross in order to make salvation available for you and for me. None of those things would have been needed. He'd have just said, well, you just be whatever you are and that's what you'll be. But he didn't say that. Listen, knowing the truth of God's word will get a person into heaven. And the Bible said, John wrote here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, he said this. He said, for this is the record, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. You see, it's God that gives us eternal life. Not some denomination, not somebody's good works, not somebody's good looks. Not whether you flip out of a chair and lay on the floor and cackle like a chicken or laugh and foam at the mouth or anything else. Listen, it's God that giveth unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Who is God's Son? Jesus Christ. Listen to what verse 12 said. He that hath the Son hath life. Boy, that's pretty simple to understand. Even a nut like me can understand that. He that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life? Eternal life. But look at the second part of that verse. It says, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Boy, that makes it pretty plain and simple, does it not? It puts it right down on the bottom shelf. God puts all the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can get one. All right? He makes it so simple. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the truth of the Word of God, folks. And that's what we need to stand for. Men and denominations who err and they turn away from truth, they subvert, they overturn the foundation of God's truth. And they try to make a profit for themselves, drawing men unto themselves, not unto Christ. And folks, that's not what we're supposed to do. You and I need to be to the point where that we are so willing to take a stand for truth with a humble heart, remembering that were it not for the grace of God, that could still be us today, lost in our sin. And we need to love those people with the truth to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to love them to Christ. Now look what he said here. What are we to do about those who err with the truth of God's words? Look at it here in verse 16. He said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. That word shun, it literally means that we are to deliberately avoid it. Turn away from it. Don't have anything to do with it. We're to shun that kind of profane, that wicked, that evil nonsense, that vain babbling that they give out. Paul goes on to tell us why we need to do that in the last part of that verse. He said, because they will increase unto more ungodliness. Boy, are we not seeing that today? We are seeing the ungodliness of people not wanting truth increase and increase. Vain babblings. I think about that verse every time I see my president. He's not my president, but I mean, he's the one that's in the office. We need to pray for him because he needs the Lord, folks. Hey, listen, everybody needs to be saved. They need the Lord. And you know what? God would change their hearts. God would change their way of thinking if they would just be willing to accept truth. But it's going to increase more and more unto more ungodliness. And that's what Paul reminded Timothy here of in verses 17 and 18. Look what he said. He said, and their word will eat as doth a canker or a cancerous type of thing, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and they overthrow the faith of some. Now, when I read this verse, I never thought about it really until I was studying on this lesson this week. But wouldn't you think it's strange for people to follow after somebody, some man that's teaching, hey, the rapture's already happened and you missed it? Don't you think it would be kind of foolish to follow after that sort of man? Because evidently he missed it too. Okay? How is he going to help you? Y'all going to burn. Y'all going to burn. That's what he's going to say. Listen, why would you follow after somebody like that? To err means to make a mistake or wrong decision and to be willing to violate an accepted standard of truth or conduct. And then it goes on to say, to stray away. Boy, is that not what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6? When he wrote these words, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him, speaking of God's Son Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Human philosophy had most likely come in to this situation with these two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and their teachings. And they did it to draw themselves a crowd rather than to abide by the truth of God's word. Now you say, well, preacher, that may have been happening back in those days, but that doesn't happen today. Let me give you two examples of local churches right here in Westminster, Carroll County, Maryland, USA. On their websites, one particular church and it's local right here in Westminster, it has on their website that they are a faithful and forward-looking congregation. We welcome all people and are open and affirming and an affirming church for the LGBTQ plus community. We are a wise congregation. And they spell out what WISE means. It's an acronym. We are welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged with mental illness, substance abuse, and brain disorders. Well, if they accept that, they ought to be, okay? We are an aspirationally anti-racist congregation. Together, we strive to make a difference in Westminster, Carroll County, and all around the world. That is on their website. Right there on About Us. A second church right here in Carroll County says on their website, under the big thing about us, what we offer. This is what they say. What we offer. We believe in the open exploration of what we find to be right and true. Drawing upon many traditions, Christian, Jewish, humanistic, Buddhist, and pagan. This is right off their website. As well as our own reason and experience in creating an approach to life that feeds and sustains us. They have erred from the truth of God's word. This is only two examples of several right here, Westminster, Maryland, Carroll County, right here, churches around us. They've got the audacity to call themselves a church. Folks, this is not what God's church is all about. Hey, listen, we're all inclusive. We want every person to be saved, but we're not going to support their sin. Listen, we're not going to change from this word of God to take man's opinions and pagan opinions and everybody else's opinion and then just say, well, you do what you want to do. We support you. We support you. That's not what it's about. Because of vain babblings and the false teachings of these men like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, they had overthrown folks' faith. They had subverted the faith of some of the people. And folks, listen to me. They, like everybody else that does this, is going to stand before God one day and give account unto God for the souls of those men, women, boys, and girls that they have drawn away from the truth of the Word of God. Folks, I don't want to sound mean today, but I'm trying to tell you the truth. We've got to face it today. We are living in a world today that is doing everything in its means, everything that they can imagine in their carnal minds, their lost, wicked minds, to draw people away from the truth of the Word of God. And then make you and I, as deliverers of the truth, look like the bad guys. We're not the bad guys. Jesus wasn't the bad guy. But you know what, folks? Listen to me today. We've still got to stand for truth. It reminds me of what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The very first thing Satan did was question the Word of God. That's exactly what all these other groups are doing. Is that not what he did unto Eve, as well as to her husband that was with her in the garden? When he looked at her and said, ye shall not surely die. These folks are telling you, hey, you're not going to die and go to hell by coming to our church and doing whatever you want to do. The Bible said that Satan said, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Sounds to me like that church said, we're wise in our own conceits. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And look at where such vain babbling and such erring from the truth of the Word of God in the Garden of Eden took all creation. It took us on a downward slope, did it not? And it caused men and women to be found guilty before God. So what are we to do about it? Well, we are to rightly divide the Word of God. Look at verse 15. Paul told Timothy, he said, son, study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Every child of God needs to focus their attention to the proper study of the word of God. Every child of God. Whether you're a preacher, a teacher, a Sunday school worker, a nursery worker, a bus worker, whatever, choir member, listen, we need to study. We need to focus on rightly dividing the word of truth. And that literally means that Timothy was to study God's word with the right conduct, with the right motive in mind, not to draw people unto himself, but to be able to know how to answer foolish questions with the Word of God so as to point folks to Jesus. To point folks to Jesus. Is that not what we learned in the Soul Winners Club? When folks come up and ask some stupid question in the middle of you trying to present the plan of salvation, and you say to them, well, you know, that's an interesting question. Let's just lay that aside for just a moment. And when we get done here, if you want to ask that question, you can ask it then. But let me just tell you what I want to share with you today. And we continue giving them the truth of God's Word. Listen, the man of God's got to rightly divide the Word of God. The only way to be able to do what he was going to be able to do was to rightly divide the Word of God. And let me say this to you today, folks. Rightly dividing the Word of God takes effort. In other words, it takes work. It takes time. I appreciate folks that read their Bible all the way through three or four times every year. And that's great. That's not a problem. I love to read it myself. But you know what? I've got to take time also to understand what I'm reading. And sometimes I may be stuck on a couple passages for several hours just trying to figure out, Lord, what are you trying to tell me in this? And I let the Word of God show me and teach me. The Spirit of God will do that. Listen, that's why Paul told Timothy that he needed to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Many false teachers and cults today are teaching, just like what Satan did, that you can't just simply believe what the Word of God says, but you need me, Satan, to direct you the right pathway to understand what God is really wanting you to know. Now, one of those false cults today, and I'm just going to share it with you, is the Jehovah False Witnesses. And on their website, all this is factual. I'll give you the website addresses if you want to look it up. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just giving you truth. On their Watchtower Society website, it says, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society claims that a group of anointed, in quotation marks, Christians, the Watchtower's own leaders, are the one and only faithful and discreet slaves through whose publication God teaches his people worldwide. They're the only ones. One cannot understand the Bible correctly apart from the Watchtower publications. In other words, if you want to understand that we all sin and come short of the glory of God, then you can't fully understand that until you read something else that they tell you that tells you something different. That is the lie of Satan, folks. And that's how Satan gets folks to err from truth. You know, the Bible tells me this. In John chapter 14, Jesus said in verses 25 and 26, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And in the very next chapter, John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Not of some angel named Moroni that the Mormons teach about, that you got to have another book to be able to read to understand what the Bible says. He said, "But the Spirit of God will testify of me, and ye shall be bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." A Bible verse I keep in the front of my Bible, and I try to remember it all the time when I read my Bible. It's found in the book of Psalm, chapter 119, verse 18. And this is where David prayed. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Listen, allow God to open your eyes. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That's what the Bible says. And folks, we need to stay in the Word of God. This is faithfulness in doctrine. But I want you to now look at faithfulness in behavior. And I'm going to try to go through this pretty quickly. Here's the proposition that he gives. He said, "Although there are vain babblers, they have drawn away many believers." And Paul tells Timothy, he said, although they're in the church body and they're trying to creep in and take people out to exhort themselves instead of exalting God, he said, "I want you to understand something, Timothy." Verse number 19. He said, "Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Amen. You need to look at that, and you need to be thankful for that today. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Satan's going to do all that he can do to cause confusion and cause disorder in the house of God and in the body of Christ. That's Satan's intent, and he's going to do it every time he tries. But I want you to remember another Bible verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Paul wrote there, he said, "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And what he's basically saying is, either you are a saint or you ain't. That's basically what he's saying. Hey, listen, God is the God of order. God is the God of peace, not the God of confusion. He's the God of peace. God's church stands sure upon a foundation that is unchangeable, unmovable. You cannot change the foundation of the Word of God. Man may change, but God will not change. And the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11, he wrote these words, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Folks, there's no other way to heaven. There's no other way of men that are living in sadness and sorrow today to find peace from God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the facts. That is the truth. And that is the truth that we've got to proclaim. And you know what? I'm glad to know that He knows each of us. Amen? He knows us. He knows His children. When we were down in North Carolina, our children were small. When you reached the age of two, the children had to sit with you in church. They couldn't stay in the nursery anymore. But before the age of two, you could stay in the nursery. And we could always tell the cry of our children from the cry of some other child. We knew the voice. And you know what? When we cry out unto God in time of need, in time of distress, God knows His children. Amen? He knows the voice of His little ones. And He wants you to know everything's going to be all right. Amen? Amen. Faithful in behavior. That's the proposition. Next week, if you'll come back, I'll give you the illustrations that Paul gives unto us. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed for this morning. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. And I pray, God, today that You will help us as Christians to boldly stand for truth and humbly proclaim the Word of God so that others might know and be saved. Lord, we know that it's not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God, how should they know without a preacher? And how will they know without somebody giving them the truth of the Word of God? Oh God, fill us with Your power and help us, Lord, to be faithful servants in word, in deed, in faithfulness, and in truth. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. Bless Brother Matthews as he stands to preach today. Be with Brother Holbrook. And I pray, God, You'll be with our pastor as well. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Love you this morning. Thank you for being in class.